With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona for boosted parlays. The in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So go sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. PropSwap, it's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. So go check out PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to a $500 bonus in cash. And we're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is DFS simplified. Head over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. You're home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for a recap of the Mayakoba and the Houston Open preview. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, you ready for the Houston Open?
I am. I'm ready to move on from Mayakoba. I'm ready to actually get back to an event with ShotLink and PGA Tour Live and
the worst
gained. And it's been a rough couple of weeks not having this stuff. I mean, I've actually had to work on Thursday morning.
I know. It's fucking terrible.
I know. It's like, how can I actually, you know, function at my job when I'm not, you know, distracted with, you know, PGA Tour Live on one hand and then, you know, trying to, you know, make things balance on the other. So
there's nothing worse than it's because it's not, wasn't even on the PGA Tour Live. So you're just staring at the fucking leaderboard and it's shot one from the box, shot two from the fairway. You have no clue. It was, I don't understand. One, they definitely should have had ShotLink there. You've said it before. Like, they definitely have it in Mexico with the WGC. Like, the fact that, like, who the fuck watches this shit other than us? Like, I don't know how many times we have to say it. They don't take care of their target demographic, the people who are pumping money into this fucking thing. It's ridiculous. They literally just spit on us and shit on us and don't care what any of us say or think, and it makes me fucking insane.
I mean, I think the excuse is there's two things that they do. Number one is apparently there's a language barrier to try to teach people to use this stuff. Well, it's really just a laser and a tablet.
Right.
And that. I mean, the second thing is apparently sometimes when you go to these events, you know, internet connection can be kind of spotty there, but it's literally a 5-star resort they're on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you got internet there.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the setup for the people spending a G a night down there. I'm pretty sure that it's fine.
Right. I mean, unless they're worried about, like, you know, the reception between with all the mangrove forests, it's, you know, it kind of, you know, gets in the way, whatever. I don't know. That's another conversation, but we're not going to have to worry about this next week with Snowbin. But for this week, Victor Hovland, we were both wrong on. Well, I was wrong on him. I don't know if you were.
No, I was too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he hadn't been doing a whole lot coming in. I mean, he had T18 at the CJ Cup, didn't hit his irons very well. You know, at the Shriners, he hit the ball pretty well, but he was messing around the greens. That was the thing that really got me with him, was coming into last year when he won the Mayakoba. He was a mess around the greens, and that's the one thing with this place with the past Palom is that if you're not very good around the greens, it can be a little bit of a tricky, you know, surface to chip off of. Well, it didn't matter. Apparently, he's just the king of past Palom.
For real.
You know, three of his four wins now have come on past Palom. I heard a little nugget on, I think, in Taylor Gooch's, who we're going to talk about at the DFS report card and the screw job he laid on me. They said, though, that the golf course reminds him of Carson Creek, which is where Oklahoma State plays. Mm-hmm. And no surprise that Victor Hovland's
Ricky played good there too.
Yep, Ricky has played well there. Matthew Wolf played well this weekend there. Yeah. Taylor Gooch is Oklahoma State guy. So
okay. All right. We gotta put that in the bag for next year.
I'm actually gonna put this on the DFS report card because I look at it next year. Yeah. Oklahoma State guys.
Yes.
Use them.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, that's a gambling lean for next year. But yeah, I mean, I think what I want to ask you though with Hovland is, you know, we've seen him win at Puerto Rico, Mayakoba twice, and the B&W International. Besides when he was in contention at the Workday at Muirfield Village or the Ryder Cup, I mean, which was a losing effort, he hasn't really been on the big stage a whole lot. Like, I think the question is, you know, these wins are nice. Like, it's good. He's racking up wins. He's not doing what Finau did as far as, you know, he's only finishing second everywhere. But, you know, Hovland hasn't had a top 10 in a major yet. It doesn't seem like he has been in serious contention to win a bigger event, not even at like a WGC. So,
right. What about Concession? He was in contention at Concession, wasn't he?
You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
But Morikawa kind of ran away with that thing.
So. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I think that's like really the only big tournament he's, you know, I think maybe at Quail Hollow he was like top 10, but it never felt like he was going to win. It's never felt like at a big event he's like was going to win.
Right.
So, but I mean, you know, congratulations to him. He won this event. We will probably see him. He might be playing the Tigers event down in Albany. So that might be a golf course for him. So we'll check back in with that. I don't know. Other than that, why don't we just get to the DFS report card? You know, that kind of breaks down the field and we'll chat about certain players we liked and didn't like and what we were right and wrong about. So the theme of this week, well, if you've, you know, watched the NFL today, the public got murdered and that the opposite happened at the Mayakoba. The public did very well. A lot of chalk did very well at the Mayakoba. Let's start with it. So Victor Hovland, 25% ownership, winner of the tournament. Justin Thomas, 21% ownership, came in third. Yep. Abe Anser, 20% owned, came in eighth.
Yep.
By far, they were great. And we tried to take a contrarian view of Tony Finau and Billy Horschel and Terrell Hatton. They sucked.
Billy Ho looked like he had it there for a minute too, and then he just did Billy Ho things.
Yeah, that hurt. I was feeling pretty good about day one. I think he was only a couple of shots off the lead. And
yeah, day two too. I mean, he hung around. Like he ended up going one under for that.
Yeah, he faded over the weekend. That hurt. But yeah, I mean, listen, that usually when chalk hits up at the top, we are not going to do very well in DFS unless we have one of those guys. And yeah, chalk it. Congratulations to everybody out. Same thing again in the $9,000 range. Aaron Wise kind of put you in a locker.
Hey, where did he finish?
He finished 15th in score. I think he finished like 11th though in the tournament.
15th in score. Whatever.
Okay.
There's a 9600.
Well, he was your big short. So yeah, it didn't work out for you too much.
It's fine.
Taylor Gooch.
Yeah, Gooch.
So I texted you early on Wednesday morning as I was out in the garage working out.
Yep.
And I'm like, I should probably just bet Taylor Gooch top 10. This was a guy I liked on my spreadsheets. I didn't have anything on him. So felt pretty good about my plus 450 on a top 10. And what did he do on the 18th hole? He double bogeyed.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can't tell you how he did it because I didn't watch the end because Hovland was running away with it. I knew that bet lost.
Yep.
But yeah, that was a tough beat. Well, it was not a tough beat. Scottie Scheffler, top 10. That was
good.
I put a nice little bet on him. He did very well. He bounced back every way. He was only 11% owned. When do you think he's going to win?
This week.
This week.
This week, Houston Open. Let's go.
Everybody's going to be on him this week.
I don't care.
All right.
Him and Kokrak, my favorite Texas guys.
that's an inside joke right there. Matthew Wolf, we both missed on. This is his first time I passed Pollen, but again,
he it's Carson
Creek, but he Oklahoma State connection with Carson Creek, and he was great in three or four rounds. He just sucked on Saturday. That's kind of what Matthew Wolf does, though. He just ends up kind of botching around, and it takes him out. But he was great today. I mean, it's nice to see him playing well again. So he had 10% ownership.
Mush hates him. Cousin Mush hates him. I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe he probably just doesn't like his swing. I think there's a couple guys in Slack channel doesn't like his swing either. So, hey, listen, it works. You know, he gets on playing at the end. That's all that matters.
Yep.
The biggest bust in this range, Will Zalatoris at 13%. He's been bad. And unfortunately, I have no idea why he's been bad because they haven't kept any stats on him. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like this should have been a good golf course for him because he's such a good ball striker. He was not. Shane Lowry is pretty bad, too. We don't really own him. Patrick Reed always also crashed back down to earth too. Not great for him. $8,000 range. This was where if you went contrarian, it worked out well for you because Russell Henley's most the highest owned. He was not very good.
Nope.
Is the Steam finally going to be off Mito Pereira?
No.
He was atrocious.
Only I know, but it's not going to be off him.
What's that?
It's not gonna come off. It's you know how it is with these DFS darlings, man. Like they latch on and they hold on and that's it. And then 50 weeks from now, when he finally fucking does something, I'm like, see, I told you, Mito. Like it's the worst.
Well, I mean, the good news is that all his fantasy national stats are going to be just intact because we're in no strokes gain. So he's going to look great next week or whenever he tees it up next. Cameron Tregala, you liked him, and I tried to warn you about it. He was terrible.
Good call. You know what's funny is I actually, because of that warning, everything I had Tregala in, I actually pivoted to Sergio.
Good. Yeah. That was the right call.
That helped me. Yeah.
Sergio was really good this week.
Yeah,
he cashed top 20 for him for me.
Except when I bet him in the matchup, motherfucker.
What matchup did he lose for you?
Friday, he lost.
Oh, that's right. No, I had him over Norin for the tournament. That was over after day one. So that was Matt McNeely rallied today.
Yeah, dude, you shoot 700 today.
He did saved a couple DFS lines for me. That was good.
Me too.
I was 1 week early on Bazane Hoot. Kind of. He was 16. Kind of. Whatever. I mean, other than that, though, I liked Ricky. That was too cute. If I had to go, I mean, both end up losing. That probably should have been a bet on Matthew Wolf instead of Fowler. But whatever. Yeah. Well, also, didn't matter. 7,000-hour range. So you had been saying there was a legitimate push on Joaquin Neiman. And I said I didn't know what the hell people were thinking. And he was 22% owned in DraftKings, and he was sixth. And listen.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Sometimes you miss, man.
No, I think it just he's a good player, just ended up playing well this week. There was nothing coming in that indicated he was going to pop. It was nothing with the ball striking. Everything was kind of bad. Yeah, he's been good on a couple, you know, shorter courses. I didn't see much good past Palm history in his arsenal. Whatever. It's fine. It's a good player. You know, I like the guy. Maybe he'll play a little better next year. You were complaining about Harold Varner III. He was bad. Emiliano Grino, Streelman, Knox. Basically, in the 7,000-hour range, unless you were on Neiman, Chalk got murdered. All those guys missed the cut.
Sheamus did all right.
I mean, Sheamus only 10% owned, so he was 21st in scoring. Carlos Ortiz, 9.4%. He was second. That was a good pivot by you. I like that. I wish I had a top 20 on him, but I think his odds were so short because...
They were wicked short. For a top 20, it was like plus 120 or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. So, I mean, other than that, though, in the 7,000-hour range, I mean, you got Brendan Todd, who I think you mentioned as you like. Kuchar actually did well.
I know. How about that?
So I actually saw an interesting story about Kuchar that... So he tried to chase distance last year.
Kuchar did?
Yeah. And it went awful. So now he's stopped doing that. And actually, I think he's been playing a little better lately. I think he made, let me pull it up. I mean, he was 25th in DraftKings scoring today. He was T35 the Shriners, T36 of Napa. So, hey, listen, he's playing better. And it's nothing special, but maybe you can consider using him at like YLI or RSM.
Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't make a move for me, man.
I know, but I mean, he's making cuts and he's still low sevens. He's getting back into maybe we can consider
right.
this guy.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You asked me before the tournament why Adam Long is so good here. Yep. And it's because he's accurate and can putt. And that's really all you can really do. And it's 27th DraftKings for you. And then under $7,000. I mean, Danny Lee, $6,900. He was pretty good. He made a nice run today.
Charged today, yeah.
Hudson Swafford, I think he just missed the top 20 for me. Like plus.
He did. I missed that bit, too. Because he was in good shape up until, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, where he shit the bed.
It was today he was making a run and then crap the bed. I think going back up top, I think Joel Damon also screwed me out of a top 20. Yeah, a lot of my flyer top 20s didn't go right. It was really only Sergio and my football bet and GT that actually hit.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else? You like Guido? He sucked.
Yeah. My boy. What's his
name? G3 did good.
Yeah.
Yep. And then your other Belgian spirit animal, who I told you last night you should football bet, and apparently your drunk ass couldn't find the bet, and you lost out on that money.
That is correct.
Yep. And I told you a football bet, Hoblin, which I did today, and you did not.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I didn't. Other than that, though, John Ha. Oh, did you see his ace, John Ha's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Dude, all aces are awesome.
I know, but his is just like, I know it. Did it go in? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I always like the awkward aces.
Me too.
Really good.
I'd be doing fucking cartwheels. Everybody would know I had an ace if I had an ace.
Let's see. Andrew Landry, 0.06% owned. He was 9th in scoring. I think he had a good day today. Andrew Novak, never even heard of that guy, but he was 17th in scoring.
So. I feel like we have heard of Novak. I feel like we played him once.
Andrew Novak? No chance. I know everybody.
Novak, I know everybody. Maybe it's from another sport.
It's probably another sport. Yeah, I know everybody, and I've never heard of this guy. So, all right, I think that's it for the Mayakoba. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll transition to the Houston Open.
All right, listen, if you guys are ready to win money and boost your odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 to win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to a $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make your first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever you wager, WinBet will match it 200%. Example, you bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. Max wager is $750. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. If you're ready to play, which you should be, sign up today and receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com.
Hey, what were you saying about Patrick Mahomes is worse than Ryan Tannehill? Because I think Tannehill threw a stinky pick there.
That was a stinky pick. It was bad. I don't know. There's a flag, though, so maybe it's coming back. I don't know.
No, it's in sportsmanlike conduct on
Ramsey.
Yeah, so it's not coming back.
Ramsey's such a douchebag.
He is a douchebag. Any non-golf thoughts before you get into the Houston Open? Your Patriots did well today.
Yeah, whatever, dude. So it was super fucking sloppy, man. You want to talk about just like an unpatriot-like game? I feel like there was more penalties in the first fucking quarter than we had like plays. Like, it was bad. Like, lots of false starts. Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold. Like, whatever. Like that was the easiest bet of the week for me. I was happy that he started instead of PJ Walker. I think I was talking to you or somebody else, and I was like, I want Sam Darnold to start. Like, that guy sucks balls. Like, we own him. He is terrible. He is not good at quarterback. Did you see Robbie Anderson light him up on the sideline?
No, but I saw that pick six that Darnold threw. That's when turned it up. That's when I closed out of the Sunday ticket quad box. I'm like, all right, I don't need to see this anymore. That was really bad.
It was real bad.
And then on my end, hey, listen, I guess my pep talk on Tuesday. Okay, nice one. A word to anybody on Reddit who's going to get really jazzed up about Daniel Jones's 5 for 20 for 110 yards today. Don't. That was not. Listen, the reason why the Giants won today was because the Raiders suck and Derek Carr sucks, and they handed that game to him. They probably should have lost anyways. But I think I understand why Dave Gettleman loves Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is the perfect quarterback for 1988. Just game manager, checking down, 15 completions, never goes for more than 225 yards.
Was it Sims? Was it Sims the Giants quarterback in 88?
Yeah, Phil Sims.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was Sims in 86 and Jeff Hostetler.
Hostetler was cool.
Yeah, and then he went to the Raiders. He was actually pretty good after that.
Yeah, I like Hostetler. He's fine.
All right. Well, this Giants team.
That's when we were once. I mean, I was six. You were fucking baby.
When? 88 is not when they won. They won 86 and 91.
86, yeah. So 86, yeah, whatever. We were just talking about 88. I said, who the fuck was that quarterback in 88? So we're talking about 88.
Oh, it's Phil Simms still.
Okay, so there we go.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I was 2 years old. So, well, anyways, listen, the Giants got another bye week. They won a game that they probably, if they played it in our team, probably would have beat them. They still suck.
Kansas City stinks.
Kansas City does really stink. I think they showed that struggled to put away. Packers and Jordan Love, who's also terrible. Packers made a mistake on that one.
Have you done a wellness check on Jay? The Jaguars beat the Bills. Bills are gonna bill. Oh, you fucking Bills fans. Oh, it makes me so happy that you lost to the trash Jaguars. Like, Duval is partying like they just won the Super Bowl down here. And, oh my God, Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. Regression was coming, and I was 100% fucking right.
So for people who don't know who Jay is, he's one of my good buddies up here in Rochester. He's a massive Bills fan. And no, it was very silent until I finally sent a text message with 2 minutes ago saying, what the fuck is going on with the Bills? And I just got a word reply from him. Awful. And I still haven't heard from my other friend who's on that chain. I'm assuming everybody's okay.
Oh.
All right. Why don't we transition to the Houston Open? Good field.
Yeah, good field. Sneaky good field.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like that last week in Mayakoba. It seems like guys are playing this fall series a little more. You know, some notables in the field. You got Sam Burns, who, what's his nickname, Boston Capper?
Bermuda Burns.
Okay, Bermuda Burns. You got Tony Finau. You got Terrell Haddon, who finished top 10 here last year. You got Sung J M, who does very well in Bermuda. You got Patrick Reed, who I think he's a Houston guy. I think he's a Houston native. So this is technically. Yeah, he's from Texas. I think he's from around Houston.
Is he from Texas?
Yeah. Yeah, he's from Texas.
Checks out. He's a
dick. Okay. You got Scottie Scheffler, who everybody knows from Texas. You got Cam Smith and Matthew Wolf in the field. But I have the guy I want to talk about, and we passed over him in Mayakoba because there wasn't really much to mention. Brooks Koepka. So he's in the field. He played very well here last year on the eve of the Masters. Why are you?
I thought Matthew Stafford was about to die. When he runs, it makes me nervous.
Okay. Anyways, so Koepka, so before the Mayakoba, he actually was mentioning that he is quote unquote searching right now. And it seems like just his game is not in a very good place. But as we'll talk about in a little bit, this should be a golf course that suits his eye because he actually helped design the place. So he helped design a lot of holes. He had a lot of input on this stuff. We'll talk about exactly where he had input. So look, maybe this will be enough to get him to kind of snap out of it. And he does have that big match with Bryson on the horizon.
Oh, my God, dude. That's so stupid.
I know, but you got to think he... I've gone back and unfortunately, we're going to do a preview show on that abomination. But I'm kind of going back and forth. And like, does he care about that thing? Does he not care about it? Is it really just about the money? Like, I think Bryson cares about that match. I don't know if Brooks does.
Brooks doesn't give a fuck.
Why not? So, regardless, if you buy into the narrative that Brooks tends to peak before something that's really important to him,
The
Bryson match is really important.
This is not on the level of a fucking a major or a big tournament. Stop it. And it's already going to be narrative street all fucking goddamn week long because he fucking had a hand in building the course or designing the course. Like his number's going to get hung super short because he's going to catch a ton of fucking steam. Like, it's
going to... So that's what I'm interested in seeing. He's been playing really bad. The books have been afraid
to hang a bad number.
Put it, yeah, because of what happened at both the Waste Management Phoenix Open when he was, what, 40?
Yeah.
And then the PGA Championship when he was 50 and he almost scared people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be hard for me to get away from a number on Brooks if it's more than 35 this week. That's the number I'm thinking.
I'd be all right. I'd be all right at 30.
But if it's like 22, 25 again, I'm probably passing pre-tournament until, you know, maybe see what happens, you know, the first round. But so that's the field. Well, on top of the golf course real quick, though. Okay. So the Houston Open has been the redheaded stepchild of PGA Tour for the past like 15 years. Like, it's been bouncing around different golf courses. It's been bounced around the schedule a couple times. It, you know, for a while there, I forget even what golf course it was at, like 6 or 7 years ago. But it got moved to the Golf Club of Houston. That one was interesting because it was the week before the Masters, and they tried to set up the golf course to be like Augusta conditions. So then you...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I completely forgot.
Yeah, so then you ended up getting kind of a competent feel to go in there because it's good practice. Like, you know, it had undulated greens. It had tightly mowed areas around the green. It was overseeded. It was actually a pretty good warm-up round to, you know, Augusta. And then they decided to... I think it lost its main sponsor. And then they moved the tournament to the fall. And no one showed up. I think it was actually opposite of WGC, which is really disrespectful. It looked like this thing was going to be dead. And then a couple notable things happened. First, you know, the Houston Astros wanted to improve their public image. So they threw a bunch of money at this tournament and made their foundation as the primary beneficiary of the tournament. And second, they got with the city of Houston and convinced them that we'll bring this tournament back to the city if you guys find somebody to renovate Memorial Park, which is one of the most famous public golf courses in America. It gets 60,000 rounds per year. But at the time, though, it was, even though it had like enough real estate to hold a professional tournament, it was not in good condition. It was overgrown with trees. You know, just the greens went to hell just because I had so much foot traffic on it. It was a muni dump. So, you know, basically the city had a lot of pressure in order to be like, hey, you want to save this tournament? We got to bring in somebody, you know, good in. Well, they brought in somebody really good. They brought in Tom Doak, who has some of the most famous resort destination golf courses in the world. He's responsible for Pacific Dunes and Old MacDonald at Bannon Dunes. So in Stream Song, Cape Kidnappers, and Terra Edy down in New Zealand. He restored Pasa Tiempo, which is a really famous golf course in California as well. That's an old Alistair McKenzie he renovated. You know, he's heavily influenced from Pete Dye and Alistair McKenzie. That's kind of, you know, where some of his architectural style is from. But a lot of his courses just are not on the PGA Tour because while they're shorter, they're more for destination resort places, you know, and
different guys like us.
Yeah, basically. But like a lot of these pros can, all the little tricks and nuances that Doak kind of puts into some of these places, all the pros just hit over them. So that's why they don't go there. But as I mentioned before, Memorial Park, there's a lot of room there. It can be stretched up to 7,300 yards if they really wanted to. So basically Tom Doak, and he brought in Brooks Koepka in order to consult. And it wasn't like just like Koepka kind of had like a little input on some things. He actually had significant influence. And like Doak has been on a couple of interviews just saying exactly what Koepka had, you know, in story. Actually, Doak actually wanted to pick Brooks' brain as far as like, okay, what makes you tick on a golf course? What makes you think where the PGA Tour kind of with their setups? Is it too easy? If it's too difficult? And actually, Brooks had a couple of good ideas. So, you know, the two of them, they had to do a massive facelift. Basically, everything on this golf course was renovated. Greens, fairways, you know, the position of holes, all this stuff. The only thing that weren't touched, the par 3 second wasn't touched. And then the tee box on 3 wasn't touched. Everything else has changed as far as shifted fairways, new greens, new bunkers, all this stuff. So, one of the things that Doak did that's really significant was there's a lot of natural like canyons in on the property, but it was never really in play. Like they would just be kind of just way off, you know, right, just elsewhere. So what Doak did was he took a lot of greens and positioned them closer to the canyons to make them more in play. It also helps with drainage at the golf course too, where the water can just run off into the canyons and get out there instead of like having all these catch basins that, you know, that you see a lot of golf courses. Another one, a big change that they did, and this is actually Brooks's, you know, primary contribution to the golf course, is there really is not a lot of bunkers on the golf course.
Yeah.
And
that's what I remember from
and one of the things that Koepka said was, and Doak agreed with this, that, you know, bunkers are really challenging for amateurs, hacks like you and me, but for pros, it doesn't really matter. So he didn't want to put a lot of bunkers on the golf course because he didn't want to challenge. He wanted to basically still, you know, have it be playable for the folks that come in, you know, the public. But what they did instead was, you know, they created subtle little undulations in the rough where you and me wouldn't notice. But to a pro, they'll be like, oh, this is 2 inches under, you know, below my feet right now. Like, this is going to be annoying coming out of this rough. So there's all that stuff around the golf course that kind of makes it, you know, really kind of annoying to a pro. There's also not a lot of water hazards on the golf course either. There's only one primary one, which is in play between the 16th and 17th holes. But, you know, basically, again, Tom Doak didn't want to put a lot of water hazards on there because it's not very friendly for amateurs, but no, for a pro, it's not really, it's not really play. But where Doak is going to challenge these guys is the greens and the green surrounds. So the greens are very undulated. They're quick. It's quick Bermuda, and it's tight Bermuda lies all around the greens too, and they all funnel in different collection areas. And that makes it really tough for these pros where they want to chip off them, you know, and especially with how the greens are undulated, it's hard to get certain pin positions. But for amateurs like us, you can putt up it really easily, just knocking onto the green. So, like, all in all, Koepka and Doak, I think they did a really good job of this place, making it, like, first of all, you know, restoring it to a really good golf course in the city of Houston. It's really playable for the public. But as we saw last year, and I'll get into it after we take a break, it played tough, especially with wind and dry conditions. Like, these guys had a lot of trouble. This is not your typical PGA Tour driver wedge, soft pillow golf course that you're going to see this week, you know, weather permitting. I really enjoyed watching it last year, and hopefully the weather holds out, because I think this is one of the better ones they go to. And I'm really glad that it seems like they finally found a permanent home this place between all the money that the Astros put in there. And now they have Hewlett Packard as the main sponsor. Like, that's a legit, like, corporate sponsor for this.
What does Hewlett Packard do now? Who buys a desktop now? What do they do?
They do computer hardware, though.
I know.
Listen, it's still an S&P 500 company. I mean, it's better than what? Worldwide Technology? Although I think they're actually pretty...
I was like, they seem pretty legit. I like Worldwide
Pants. They are pretty legit.
Do you remember Worldwide Pants? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know what that is.
Man, it's fucking David Letterman, bro.
Oh,
Worldwide
okay. Pants. Yeah, God, that was 15
years. Christ. No Monty Python. Fucking didn't get the David Letterman right. How fucking old am I?
You're pretty old, sir.
Fuck.
You're old enough where you couldn't find how to bet Thomas Peters last
night. It's not that I couldn't find it. It's that I was fucking had people over. I was drinking, fucking hanging out, and fucking, and then, you know, whatever. Dude, shit gets away. Like, I'm a squirrel, man. Like, I need to do it, like, when you text it to me. If I say I'm going to do it in 10 minutes and then I go pour another drink, that shit is gone.
Uh-huh.
It's my fault.
All right. Why don't we take a break and then we'll get into how to handicap this thing.
All right. Sounds good. Well, listen, we got to talk to you guys about PropSwap. It's America's place to buy and sell sports bets. All season long, PropSwappers have been finding the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it in up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. And if you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time. So your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets every day on PropSwap. So get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right, let's break this down a little further. So we're finally getting a tournament where we have previous strokes gained data, you know, as far as like categories on it. And listen, like, sometimes you can make false conclusions on this stuff based on one tournament, but hey, listen, it's better than nothing. So let's just jump right in. So let's start with what happened last year. Carlos Ortiz won this tournament at minus 13. Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama were two shots back at the minus 11. A couple of other guys in the top 10. You got Jason Day, you got Terrell Hatton, Sam Burns. They're also in top 10. So golf course was pretty tough last year. It was windy. It was firm. Guys were having trouble both hitting greens and chipping around it. You know, the green regulation rate was only about 61%. And guys are having a pretty tough time getting up and down for par, you know, and that kind of shows in the scoring there. You know, so yeah, I think the hardest thing, as I mentioned before, is the green surrounds, I think, are the hardest thing about this place. Is if you miss a green, it's very tough to chip off type Bermuda green lies into it. I mean, you're from Florida. Yep. You definitely know the feelings.
It's awful.
And it all runs away into like any, if you miss a green, it's not like where the ball just stops and you just like pop up. Like it's going to run. So you can get some like really awkward chips around here. Get up and down's really tall order. You know, once you're on there, it's, you know, pretty significantly, you know, and creatively undulated greens too. So, you know, even though this is only just a little under 7,100 yards that they set up as, like, you know, with how difficult some of these greens in the areas around it is, like, they did a good job, like, protecting the golf course. I guess one thing, if you want to notice with the rest of the top 10, is that the guys who were generally a little, had more distance than the rest of the field did a little better. I think that you can probably attribute that to the fact that there isn't any fairway bunkers or any real hazards off the tee. So you can kind of whale it away. And if the golf course plays firm, like it did last year, you know, you want a shorter club and a higher ball flight into some of those greens. So I think driving distance probably is why you see, like, you know, I think so nobody inside the top 10 last year averaged less than 297 off the box for the week. 6 of 10 players averaged more than 300 yards. I mean, you got DJ, Burns, yeah. Brooks, J-Day, you know, even Hatton kind of pump it out there too. Even Mackenzie Hughes, who's the type of guy who always just anytime guys are missing a whole lot of greens in terms of an up and down contest, you know, because he has enough pop off the tee. You know, he can just get up and down for everywhere and kind of putt his way to a good finish. He had a good finish there last year, too. But despite, you know, and like I said earlier, because there's not a lot of fairway bunkers, he hit driver a whole lot. I think DJ didn't hit less than driver in any hole during the final round last year. Yeah, he just just hit it. Everything was like 320, 330, all that stuff. But despite the fact that it's only 7,100 yards and you're hitting driver a whole lot there, there's a lot of longer approach shots. So about 47% of all the approach shots into greens are more than 175 yards and up. Like, that's a big distribution.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the fact it's a shorter golf course lead on the scorecard. Like, it, I think a lot of the lack in length, I think, comes on the par threes. Those are a little shorter. I think there's a couple of the par fives a little shorter too, but those are about 200 yards. But the par fours are pretty long. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to be hitting a lot of longer approach shots. You're going to be hitting a lot of shots from like 125 to 152. And that's where I think Koepka also had a hand in it, because he's a really good long iron player, really good with his long approach shots, loves sitting driver anyways, but he's a good wedge player too. It seems like his intermediate irons he isn't as good on. But, yeah, it definitely seems like from a hole and scorecard perspective, that's where Brooks, like, yeah, I think he stacked the deck for himself a little bit here.
So yeah, why not?
I really do think that this golf course might wake him up a little bit, because he did have a hand in it, and it is set up really to, if he's playing well, you know, that's something that kind of suits his game. And then as far as, you know, other golf courses where, you know, there's a little heavier distribution towards longer approach shots, I noticed TPC Scottsdale had a similar distribution. I noticed Augusta National had a similar distribution, and Riviera as well. And you can draw a lot of connections between some guys in the top 10 to those three golf courses. So Hideki Matsuyama finished second at the Houston Open last year. He's a two-time winner of Scottsdale. Koepka was in the top 10. He's a two-time winner of Scottsdale too. Hideki and DJ both won the Masters, you know? So I think the fact that, you know, it's really fast, undulated greens with tight chipping areas, that's Augusta National right there. And there's a lot of longer approach shots there too. I think that's a good comp. DJ has done really well at Riviera. You know, that's another one that plays firm and fast. It's undulated greens. It's, you know, it's, you know, the green regulation rate there is pretty low. It can get kind of windy. Yeah, I think that's a good comp too. Sam Burns finished the top 10. He did well at Riviera.
Should have won Riviera.
I know. Well, yeah. Don't remind me. My 101 ticket.
I remember.
I had Burns on a couple of close calls early in 2021, and right. I never end up hitting his outright. That's a shame.
Dude, didn't you?
No. I missed on Valspar because we were both on Keegan.
Yeah.
And I missed at the Sanderson. I bet him a 3-1 on Sunday.
Okay. That doesn't count.
Yeah. Okay. That's a damn shame. Yep. So. Anyway, so Ortiz, who won the tournament, he has top 10s at both the Waste Management Phoenix Open and at Riviera. So, you know, Jason Day has been good at Augusta National. Yeah, there's a lot of connections as far as those three golf courses, as far as like the types of things that you have to do well there and how it sets up. And this place. So if you're looking for other comp courses, I think those are three pretty good ones. But a lot of this kind of depends on the weather too. I talked to our buddy Moonoff. I asked him what the weather's been. Said it rained a little bit last week. They might get some rain this week. I looked at the forecast. It doesn't seem like wind might be too big of a factor, but it's early in the week. If we get similar conditions to last year, I think we expect a little bit of the same. But even if we don't, I think there's enough tricks to this golf course where I still think you'd be protected. Maybe some of the scoring gets up to be like, you know, if it's like just good weather, favorable weather, like softer and not as much wind, I think maybe 1800 or 1900 could be the winning score. But I still think the same types of players you want to look for that were a blueprint last year will come into play, as far as, you know, guys are pretty good around the green, especially on Bermuda. Guys can putt pretty well on Bermuda. Guys are pretty good iron players. I think distance is going to play a big factor, you know, especially if the greens are firm. So
what do you think they're going to hang Burns' number at?
Oh, probably 20.
16? Oh, okay. I'd be interested.
I mean, who you got in this field? You know, he actually might be the favorite. Just looking at the guys here, I mean, Koepka's slumping. Finau. Sungjae, Scheffler.
Yeah, Scheffler.
It seems like, I think you might get maybe he is like co-favorite with Scheffler and Finau and like Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Who I mentioned earlier, Cam Smith is the guy I'm looking at this week.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good things about this place that fits his game. So stay tuned for Tuesday.
Stay tuned for Tuesday.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's probably going to be popular, but you heard it here first.
technically, I think he texted me this shit on fucking Saturday. So
yes, I did. So everybody stay off. He's my guy this week.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, have you guys heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks has the most NBA DFS prop games on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as the bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, yardage, touchdowns, on every interception thrown. All of your users that deposit and use your promo code will receive up to 100% of instant deposit match. So make sure you use promo code SGP. You pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections, and you win 10 times your money on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries too. You can take the over on LeBron, never a good idea, and the under on Mahomes, definitely a good idea. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. I would probably put a little more time into it. But listen, Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Go check out prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP to get you 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to the App Store or download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And of course, don't forget to go download the SGPN app. It gives you that easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us an app review and download the app today.
Okay. All right. I got nothing else. Do you have any reactions to anything I said before we close the show?
No, I think I completely forgot about how they tried to make it like the Masters last year until you said that. Because I remember thinking about that when we were betting those guys last year. I was like,
they tried to make the Masters the Golf Cup of Houston. I was wondering if they were going to oversee the golf course last year, and they did. They let it just be natural. That's why it ended up being. Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that, because that November Masters, which God seems like a billion years
ago, it was soft as shit. You remember?
Well, so it was soft as hell. But what they were saying about it is because they scrambled to oversee it, but they didn't kill off all the Bermuda.
Right. It was a weird mix. Remember?
So it made chipping around it really tough. And it actually, you're right, it kind of was a good comp, because I mean, DJ was chipping off tight Bermuda all week at this place, and he ended up winning the next week. Although DJ was also the best player in the world at that point. He was on a huge run.
Unbelievable leader.
I'm looking forward to seeing this golf course again. I'm looking forward to actually having
me too.
PGA Tour live to watch it on Thursday. So yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday with hopefully get back right on the horse with another big winner. And we'll see you then.
Yeah, that's it. All right, so you guys know where to find us. You can find me, Boston_Capper, on Twitter. Find Steve in the Slack channel. And look forward to Tuesday's show. We'll hopefully try to get back off the schneid there. All right, motherfuckers. Later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.